Again, the passage comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we just thank you again for this morning. Thank you. We have Burr Campus in our midst, oh God, as he brings us stories from Asia, oh God, as he shares with us the excitement of what you are doing there, oh God. May you speak through him, and may you give us listening ears to hear. We pray also for the children that will be heading off to childminding. May you continue to bless them, oh God, as they grow up in the knowledge. In your name I pray. Pastor Burr.
Good morning. Good morning. Guys all awake? Good. It's so good to be here again with you and share a little bit of what God is doing with international students and share my heart with Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. I love those songs that we've been just singing. Songs of saying, God, you're my everything. You're all to us. I hope you mean those songs. I don't know what's... let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. That is a great prayer. So that'd be a good way to just pray this morning that God would touch our hearts. Lord, I just pray for each one this morning that has come to your house. We have entered into worship. We have express our love to you, Lord, but sometimes our love is weak. Sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes we fail. But Lord, you have said that you'll never let us go. Thank you for those songs. You'll never let us go through the storm. And Lord, whatever we face in our lives today, help us to see that you're on the throne. Everything is going according to your plan. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you that don't know me, I came into contact with this church about 13 years ago through Sabrina Bach, your former pastor. And we were good friends in Bible school. And she heard that we might be working with international students. And she said, I came from another country and you guys helped me, so maybe it's my turn to help you. And so she helped us get going with international students while we were in Kamloops, British Columbia, working there with Thompson River University. And that's where we invited, we got in touch with this church and the people from some of the young people like Andrew, right? You were part of that, right? Came up to Kamloops, it was Andrew? Am I talking to the guy? Huh? What? Is that your name? Andrew, yeah. You came with your brother, and others came up to Kamloops as a group to do missions with international students. And they did it several years. And I trained someone to take my place there called Dan Gettert. He's doing a great job there now. And I came to Vancouver not knowing what I was doing, but I knew that there was not much happening with international students here. And so, and I didn't know how in the world we were going to get a rental place. We come from Kamloops, where it's a lot cheaper to live. And God opened the door for us to live in a house in Port Coquitlam for $350 a month rent with a big yard. And so we're right downtown. God, it was God's gift to us, a three-bedroom bungalow. And so that's where we started this ministry to international students. And now hundreds and hundreds of students have heard about God's love. And you've been part of that. This church started to support us while we were in Kamloops. They continue that support. And they even sacrificed Angus Chan. He also came on board, became the first president of the club in SFU. And soon it was going out to Douglas and to UBC. And now there's a staff of 12 of us. And many churches are involved. And this last Friday, we had, again, lots of new students coming at UBC, SFU. SFU, we had something like 50 people on Friday night, many new students. And your church was the one that cooked the dinner through the coordination of Karen and Herbert. And just give them a thanks. There's Karen. Just give them a thanks. There. And it was Stella who was doing that for years. Stella, and she did that for many years. And now Karen is, and everybody got food. And many students, they hear about this free food that's being offered. And, you know, students, of course, love free food. So do I. So that is what's happening. And so God has been blessed us. And now just the sixth ministry just started. So we said to God, I'm getting older. I came here when I was 65, almost 65. And I said, I'd like to see God put at least ministries into 10 different campuses focused on international students. Well, we just opened our sixth ministry in Langara this past week. And we had a number of different international students from different backgrounds, Japanese, Chinese, different countries that are coming to that new ministry. Angus is part of that, actually. And so you can still pray. Angus is still involved in the ministry. He's got a lot of things on his mind, including marriage. But he's still involved with that international students. And it was through this church and through us coming here that God spoke to him. And his life was definitely changed. So this morning, I want to share a little bit from God's Word. We have a great book table there. We got some free stuff going on. How many of you guys, you don't feel comfortable in speaking Chinese anymore? How many of you are like that? Just raise your hand. You're raised up in this country, and you're kind of Chinese is your second language, limited. Like Mandarin. How many of you are not comfortable in Mandarin? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a few of you. Okay. Well, I'm not either. Right? I learned to say in China, I love China. Wai chunghua. I learned to say that a lot of times. And I really love China. And I just came back from China in May and June. We went to 9 cities. But I meet Chinese people everywhere. They're everywhere, right? And you meet other people from other countries. So I don't speak the language, but I always have my CDs with me, DVDs. This is Chinese DVD that has even Fujio and Hakka and Shanghainese and Taiwanese and Uyghur and Cantonese. It's all on there. So you know what? When I meet someone and say, you're from China, oh, I say, I got something that speaks your language. Here it is, a gift from me. And they're just happy. And I meet them in the parks. I meet them everywhere I go. So we brought you some free ones today. So you can give them out. We get them free. And if you don't, you know, I mean, sometimes people are from Japan or Korea. Oh, great, I got something in your language. In fact, there are 18 languages in here. And, you know, even in people from India, oh, I've been to India, but India has, you know, how many languages? 17 major languages. 17. And so I got something in Hindi or whatever, in this, and so I give it to them as a gift. So we got brought you some of that. And it's free. And Chinese love free stuff. And we have testimony booklet like this one, Treasure This Grace. And the last chapter is how Angus got involved. His story is in here. And the other one is Vivian. She's going to be here in the next service with her boyfriend, Marco. But her story is in here, too. Number of stories, how God spoke to internationals. Those, if you can give us maybe $3 or so for that, that would be great. And then we got our newsletters. And here's one of the greatest books to give to people from China called The Song of the Wanderer. It's like Lee Strobel's book, Case for Christ. But it's in Chinese. And I've read it. I said, you can have it. I read this book, and they said, you read Chinese? No, I read it in English. Fortunately, it's translated. So, and a lot of people have come to Christ through this book. And so I've got some copies there. Cost me about, you know, $2.50 or $3, and you can have them. That's a great, it's a wonderful thing to give to people. But one thing I do like to give to you that will help you in your spiritual walk, I've heard the pastor speaking that church is changing, becoming more mature. Lots of older people are, we're all getting older, right? I'm turning 69 tomorrow. It's my birthday. So, and I'm just an old man speaking to you, but I love young people and I love students. This book is Calvary Road. George Verber, the founder of OM, he just sent me 100 copies. And the first ones who picked those copies up on the table, I don't have 100 there. I have a few, and you can get a free copy. It's one of the best books for your Christian life, how to relate to other people in the church or your family, how to walk with God. Calvary Road. And the Bible Society just did a free New Testament for us, has hello in different languages. And it has SFU on the back. You can pray for SFU. There's all the students there. And there's an old man on the left on the bottom. You'll see him. It's an old man. He's 69 tomorrow. But this little New Testament has six testimonies in it. It's a great little book to give to people. We have a few free copies as well. So those are the table there afterwards. I hope you'll meet us at the table. And I just want to share something from the New Testament church, but just a little bit from our trip. If you want to have the more of a complete report, I have with pictures this little report from China. And it was an amazing trip that we had for 6 weeks. My wife and I traveled to 9 cities in China to visit our students. So I'm just going to share a few slides. Let's go. Lessons from China. You'll hear more about that. But we landed in Hong Kong. Never been in Hong Kong before. The city goes a little too fast for me. They speed up the elevators and everything, it seems. Everybody's going at the same time. But we loved Hong Kong. We stayed there for a week. You know, God provided a lady from Hong Kong who used to live here, who used to send students to Kamloops. And she said, I've got enough air miles to finance your wife and I to China, your wife and yourself to China. Free travel. And so she provided, initially I got a free apartment. This overlooks the harbor that I use for missionaries and pastors. You can have it for a week. And so that's where we lived. It was just wonderful. It's God's gift to us. Next slide. And what did we do? We met all our students, some of our students who helped start our program in Kamloops. And some of you guys used to hike with them and meet them. And so some of them came up to this restaurant. And I tell you, we have the restaurants in China are noisy, but we have enough noise for everybody to hear us, especially my laugh. And that was really exciting to meet those students, see how God's been working in their lives, and encourage them in God's work. Next slide. Something happening here. Oh, but you know, the neat story in Hong is that gal in the middle, she's called Sunny 2. There was 3 Sunnies that came here. She was a scholar sent here by the Chinese government for a year to SFU, came here 4 years ago. We met her, and she there was about 10 or 12 of these scholars, and they started coming to our club, they came to the church. And I was visiting some of those scholars in Chongqing, in Shanghai, and in Beijing, and in Nanjing. 4 of those scholars I was reconnecting with. But she heard that I was in Hong Kong. She heard that I was coming to China and I was missing her city of Guangzhou. She was so upset. She said, Bert and Heather, they're not even visiting me. So I got my visa for Hong Kong and I'm going to visit them. So she spent half a day on the train just coming to Hong Kong to visit us. And she's not a Christian, not at all. But she wanted to see us. She wanted to reconnect with us. And we finally met her. And, you know, she took us to a restaurant that is run by people from Guangzhou. She said, I know that restaurant. Got there, it was huge. And there was, she said, there's one little table left. And there's all the tables are filled with, 600, 700 people in that restaurant. And there, as we went to that table, we met Paul Warkentine from Calgary. He's my friend, who runs international students in Calgary. He used to be my boss, Paul Warkentine. And he was with people from those two on the right that working with international students from the United States, but they're in Hong Kong and they work preparing students to come to the United States and when they come back, all in Iraq. And they are going to go to Guangzhou in a week's time. And they speak Cantonese. And she speaks Cantonese. And she said, I want to connect with the church in Guangzhou. And they said, we'll be very happy to help you. Can you believe that happening in the middle of Hong Kong at a restaurant, meeting my old friends? They knew I was in Hong Kong, but I did not know they were in Hong Kong. And they said they had no idea where we were. But we met at that restaurant. God did those things. You'll read more about it. Next slide. A few other things that happened. We got into a school. If you look at all those kids there, there's 2 old people there. And we were teaching them about Canada, teaching them how many provinces and where we live, Vancouver, and, you know, giving them some free maple leaves. Buttons, if they answered the question, or they would answer a question, they were all shy. But when they heard about these little maple leaf pins, suddenly all the hands went up, and they were asking all kinds of how long you've been married, how many kids you have, and all that kind of stuff. And so they're amazed when we tell them we've got 3 kids and 6 grandchildren, and we've been married 43 years, and they're just so excited to meet us, practice their English. And the teacher, we gave her a Bible, a bilingual Chinese New Testament.
And she got up at the end of the class and she said, this book, this is a very important book for Bert and Heather. They came from Canada to bring this book for me, this bilingual New Testament. And I just love this book. This book is so important. And I want to offer this book to the student who makes the highest marks in this class. I thought, wow, if she did that in Canada, she'd be fired. Our country would fire her. And there she is, promoting the Bible in the school. I was so excited. And so God gave us another wonderful meeting with one of our old friends, Jennifer, in Suzhou. And there we met a Christian bookstore as well. The pastor ran that, and I spoke in their house group. Jennifer came to Christ in Canada. My wife mentored her, helped her to cook Chinese food. She never knew anything about Chinese food when she got married, didn't know how to dress. She just never learned those things because she was doing her PhD, and that's all that mattered. But we reconnected with her, and we had a wonderful time. She's one of the leaders in the house church there, and actually is really reaching out to new people and bringing people to Christ. How wonderful to meet those kinds of people. Next slide. And there we finally got into Shanghai and met Stella, the first girl that was first baptized by us in Kamloops, that came to Christ. She's in real estate now. She's married, got a little child. But she really never connected with the church. And now we're hoping that she does. So pray for a follow-up with some of these people. So we had a wonderful week. And that girl is a medical doctor in the Chinese military. She's one of those scholars that came here. And her husband flies planes for the Chinese military, radar planes that surveillance, protects people, and protects China against Korea and Japan and those countries. And you know, that's her husband's job. And you know, when his wife became a Christian, he says, I will support you. I will support you. You can go to church. They took care of us for a week, and she is really growing in Christ. She reads the Bible every day. She loves God with all her heart. But we're just following her up and hoping that she connects with the church as well in Shanghai. Next slide. This is one of the house churches. I think that was Suzhou. Yes, that man there on the left was my translator with the beard. He speaks seven languages, including Hebrew. And he says, I'm the only professor in the university in Nanjing that can share the gospel and do everything except issue an altar call. He said, I can do that every day because I teach the history of Western civilization. And you cannot teach history of Western civilization without putting God in it. And so he says, I get that freedom to share the gospel in my classroom. Wow, pray for him. And there are so many good things that God did for us. Next slide. There we are at the railway station in Qinwendao, close to Beijing. We went there and met a group of young people in a house church. They met at 8:30 on a Sunday morning, and they went all morning till 12 o'clock, praying, worshiping, hearing what I had to say. And then they spent the whole afternoon asking questions till 5 o'clock, and then they walked into the train station. I felt like it was like the Apostle Paul. I really did. It was to see the hunger of these young people for Christ. Next slide. Well, guess what? Where's the biggest printing press in the world? The Prince Bibles. Where's the biggest printing? Yeah, where is it? Nanjing, China. They print 17 million Bibles a year. Half of them for China, half of them for the rest of the world. It was amazing. That's a professor that was here who's one of the leaders in the house group there in Nanjing. Next slide. There's just a little, we had a little tour of that place. Little tour. 600 workers they have. Just amazing what they do. And I was so challenged in China there with the communist government and everything. As many times communist party members go and visit them, they don't believe that China prints Bibles until they arrive in Nanjing to this place. It's just an amazing place. Next slide. There's just some of the people we reconnected with in Beijing and other places. I don't have... they took us out, some of the scholars, some of our former students. Next slide. That's it.
For slides. Let's go to God's Word. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We read that passage together this morning. I know my time is limited this morning. Trying to pack everything in, including the message, and introducing some of my special friends this morning who've come. But I'd like us to... The topic is learning from the New Testament church. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he had many troubles and pressures and trials, even coming close to death. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despise the spirit even of life. I remember 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I went into the hospital for a new knee. My old knee was shot. When you get my age, some things up your body starts to wear down. So there was no cartilage left between my knees, and I was like brake pads, and cars with brakes with no brake pads. That's what was my knee. So after 5 minutes, I was limping and I was in pain. So I had to wait 6 or 7 months to get into the hospital. Some of you guys prayed for me, and I've got a new knee now. Got a new knee. But I remember those days in the hospital and the days of recovery. I was in pain. You know, the first week I was in a walker. The second week, I got onto a crutch. The third week, I was biking because I was energetic and because I wanted to get back in shape. And so now I can bike. I got 7 bikes and I can bike 20 kilometers and I can. This thing will go for another 20 years. Amen. And so I'm back. But, you know, I was in the hospital with pain, but I saw other people in more pain. I saw other people struggling and suffering. And, you know, that's what God opened my eyes when I was in the hospital, to pray for them. And realized that I was not the only one in pain. I saw suffering. And so Paul was suffering, but he was suffering for the gospel. He was trying to get the gospel out to the whole world. The struggle of Paul was not without a purpose. So he shares 2 lessons he was learning. Lesson number 1, he says, we have all these things happening to us so we might not rely on ourselves. Verse 9. This happened, we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Everything God puts in our lives is for a purpose. Every challenge, every difficulty, every problem. I've taught young people how to drive from China. Some of them don't even know where the gas pedal is. They have a license from China, but they bought it in China. So they were driving my car looking for the gas pedal. That was really nerve-wracking just to think about that. But I taught them how to drive. And then when they get their license, I said, you're going to probably fail the first time. And I said, that'll be good. No, they said, that's not good. I said, yes, it's good. You fail the first time, it's really good. 50% of you that take your license for the first time will fail. They said, no, we don't want to fail. I said, yes, it's good to fail because then you'll know where your mistakes are. You'll know where your problems are. It'll help you to be better driver. Ah, they begin to see it, but they don't want to spend money for the next time, right? They want to get through it. So, you know, Paul had a purpose, and that was... Jesus had a purpose that Paul would not rely on himself, but he would rely on God. And the second reason, that lesson that Paul was learning here for his struggles and sufferings, was that he could share them with others. We can share we are linked together through prayer and giving. So our blessings are your blessings. Our joys are your joys. We've had people baptized this summer from SFU, one in the river, in the ocean on a rainy day. You should rejoice when people are coming to Christ. Hear what God is doing because you're praying, you're giving, you're supporting us. And so our joys are your joys. Our sufferings are your sufferings. You prayed for me when I was in the hospital recovering from my knee surgery. You prayed for me when I went to China. We sense God's prayers. Some people come to me afterwards and say, I pray for you every single day. That means a lot to me. You guys are helping us. This week I shared with the missions committee that I'm praying for this trip that we're taking, which the schedule is in this letter somewhere, one of these letters, that we are going to Asia for 2 months, going to Korea, Singapore, India, going back to the place we got married 43 years ago in India. My wife and I were married there in India. And we're going to go back and we're going to a Bible school to teach for 8 days in this Bible school. And then we're going to go to Thailand to work with the Khmer people in Laos with Sion Chan, who works with FEBC. We're going to speak. My Sion has a little weekend border seminar for about 100 pastors. They come to the border there, and they want to hear God's word. So they go from 8:30 in the morning till midnight. They said they just want me to preach 9 hours. And at that Bible school, where I'm doing about 16 hours, and my wife is doing 8 hours. That is the trip we're taking in 2 weeks' time. Well, you guys can pray for us. You know, through asking people to pray, God supplied about $5,000. And your church just gave us a small amount toward that trip. So thank you so much. Your missions committee said, we'd like to help you. So they gave us $500 for that trip. Thanks. We are up to $5,000, but we've been praying for $8,000. We're trusting God. We're leaving in 2 weeks. Pray that the rest of this money will come in so we can share with our dear brothers and sisters. So we're sharing some of these requests. Take the prayer letters with you. when and pick them up. Then we just go to a couple more passages. Colossians 1, Paul gives the example of that church that had an example of their deep faith in God and genuine love for all the saints in verse 4, and it was producing fruit and growing. Is this the testimony of Burnaby Pacific Grace Church? Is your faith growing? It's more important that your faith grows than if you have 100 more people come to your church. Quantity is not important, but quality is. So God is looking at your life today as you sang those songs. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2-10. The church was a great model for all churches in Thessalonians in spite of severe suffering. Read that passage, 2 verse 10, and you'll see that this church was making an impact all over Asia. And yet they were going through suffering. They were losing their jobs. They had a lot of opposition going on. 1 Thessalonians 1. How are we doing in comparison to the early church? One reason we went to China was to learn from house churches and to help our students who go back there to get linked with good churches. So I have a few personal impressions I'm just going to throw up in there because I want to introduce Jillian in a couple of minutes. But there's the ongoing challenge. How are we going to help our students when they go back? That is the most important critical thing. It's easy for them to come to our club and to find Christ in a nice, safe environment. But what will happen to them when they go back to China? They will face opposition. They will face tremendous other circumstances like the social struggles that people face in China. If there's a challenge of living for Christ in a society where there's so much corruption, materialism, and pressures to get ahead and make lots of money. A survey by EPOS took a measure of how success was done. And in general, across the world, 34% said they would measure success by what they owned or possessed. So what people owned or possessed, 34% said that is success. In China, it was 71%. The survey also reported in China, 68% felt burdened by pressure to make money and be successful. My friend Mike in Beijing just came to Christ in Canada. He's an architectural engineer. He took care of us for a week. But after supper, he was working in his office till midnight. And he's trying to grow as a Christian, a new Christian. He's trying to find a good church. He tried a government church, and that was a challenge because many government churches are not the right places for our students when they come back. So he went to this government church, and he says, I don't like this church. Went to the pastor. I don't like this church. There's a camera there, and it's taking pictures of all of us. And I'm a Communist Party member. I don't want the government to know that I'm going to this church. So get rid of that camera. I don't like it. And the pastor took that camera off, and he put a small camera so people couldn't see it. That was the answer. But that my friend is not happy with that. There is the spiritual hunger. I shared a little bit about that in the house churches where we spoke at. And we met many Christians in these house churches that had a great passion for God. Then the impact. We met many believers and non-believers who have been in Canada, and they all shared the impact that our workers have made in their lives. And they thanked us so much that we cared for them, that we visited them, even that I took the time to come to China and visit them. But it's not myself, because I'm not in charge of this work anymore. We have put other people in charge of this work. I'm semi-retired, they say. I'm only down to 40 hours a week instead of 70. But we have young people that have joined us. And we're passing on the baton to people like Jillian. And I like her to close this morning with her story with our wonderful student from Hong Kong. Welcome, Jillian.
Hi, morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to be here again. So just a little bit about my journey and why I'm working with International Student Ministries Canada. So I was an international student at SFU myself when I was 19. Although I was a Christian, but by the time I went to university, I was actually not walking with God. And for me, coming to Canada, I felt a lot of pressure to perform really, really well because my parents did send me 7,000 miles away from home, and that cost them a lot of money. And coming from Singapore, I'm so used to being judged for how well I do in school, right? So for the very first time in my life, in my second year, I failed one midterm. Like, that has never happened to me before in my life. And that just caused my world to like fall apart. And for me, like, I actually literally fell into depression and stopped going to school. But at that time, God was really good. He sent a brother in Christ who encouraged me that I should be leaning on God and not on myself, and that I can be disappointed with everything and everyone else, but not with God. So I prayed, and I just saw how God really like filled my heart with joy and just lifted me out of that valley. And I don't even know how, but I actually got a B at the end of the semester for that class. So for me, that made me want to rebuild my faith. And I was very active with Campus Crusade for Christ at that time, because there was no international student ministries yet. So from there, I was really encouraged, and I went on a mission trip with them to a Muslim country. And it was on that trip that God really grieved my heart for the lost. I remember like I got to know a general's daughter in that country, and we saw her so close to receiving Christ. And at that last meeting, she just like decided she's not going to pray and receive Christ, because I mean, she is a Muslim by birth. She's a general's daughter. So she felt that struggle and that fear, right? And instead, she told me, like, Jillian, when I go to Boston to study in a few years, I would pray and receive Christ then. I mean, that just really impacted me, like, the freedom we have over here to share, and for international students, especially from coast countries, to receive that freedom to know God and to come to receive Him and to grow in their faith. So for me, that was like the turning point in my life. Like before that, I wanted to go to grad school. I was going to be a clinical psychologist. But instead, I just followed God's call and went into full-time ministry. So some of you may or may not remember, when I first went into full-time ministry with Campus Crusade for Christ, this church actually was one of my supporting churches as well. And for that first year, I was trained and doing my internship with SFU. And then later on, I actually went to China for 3 years as well. And then in the beginning of this year, God called my husband and I back to Canada. When God called us back to Canada, I was like, okay, the call of my life is full-time ministry, but where exactly should I be investing my time? So 2 weeks after I arrived, God actually led me to Bert, and we had that first meeting. And I just remember Bert at Tim Hortons challenging me to think about coming to visit Focus Club at SFU. So I was like, okay, it's just a visit, no big deal, right? Walked into Focus Club that first night with my husband, and we were just like, wow, these are like 70% of the students come from China, Hong Kong, Taiwan. So for me, that's like just really familiar. This is what God has been preparing me for. And not only that, that first few conversation was just talking to other international students who were just as confused, as lost, as lonely as I was when I first came into Canada. Like, I just went back that night and prayed, and like, I just knew this was what God was calling me to. So for such a time as this, I decided to join with International Student Ministries Canada. So I actually started this September as the campus director at SFU. And with campus ministry. Oh, okay. With campus ministry, we have to raise our support. So, it would be great if you could leave me your contact if you would like to know to pray for the ministry and to support me. I'm at 72% and I just need a little bit more to be full-time on campus. And now I'd just like to invite Rapsin to come and share his experience with us.
Wow, every time. Thank you for the opportunity for share as well. My name is Rapsin, and I'm from Hong Kong. And now I'm studying in like SFU, and I'm majoring in environmental science.
Yeah. Okay, Rapsin, how do you know about Focus Club?
Okay, so like the reason why I like looking for Focus, like the first time when I look for Focus Club is because like I'm looking for like a chance to practice my English. Because like, as you know, you can survive without speaking any English in Vancouver, right? But like then I asked myself, like, what's the point that my parents sent me like all the way from Hong Kong and like spend that much money on me? It's because they want me like to improve my English, right? So like, yeah, the first reason is like just for practice my English. But like they always encourage me, like, you have a chance to like seeking for God, and you will like, they also provide free dinner. Thank you guys. Yeah. And
okay, so Rapson, just quickly, what do you learn from Focus Club so far?
Yeah, like if you ever been Hong Kong, you will know like it's a materialistic like society. But like if you go to Focus Club, you will feel like the love between the people. So like I learned how to love each other, and also like I know more about God. Yeah.
Great. Okay,
thank you.
I'm going to close in prayer. Cut down my message this morning. I spoke too long about China. But just think, the last point was China's dream versus God's dream. The dream in China that the president of China gave is for China to become powerful and proud and great and rich. And many people don't know what the China dream is. But God has, what I like to close with is God's dream. God has a dream for each one of you. He has a plan even for you to come this morning. And he has a dream. Angus did not know when he wrote me what was I planning to do at the university, Angus Chan. And I said, I'm planning to start a club for international students. He said, maybe I can be a volunteer. Maybe I can help you. He became the first president. God redirected his life. God directed Jillian now to be a worker with us. God may have he has a dream for you, not just to come to Canada or to have a good job. He has a dream for Rapson. When he came here, he thought he was maybe coming here to get a good job and be rich. But now he's learning about God. God has a dream for you. And our dream is that all the international students would have a chance to hear about God's love. That's our passion. That's our dream. Our dream is that we would be on more campuses. But we can only do that when God gives us the workers. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for the New Testament church that was the example of Paul and the example of Thessalonians, how these churches impacted the world and shared the gospel in spite of many trials and sufferings, and how even the dream that Christians have in China is to see the church truly be the church of Jesus Christ, the church that will minister to the great needs in China. Thank you for the dream that you give us. Lord, the China dream is based on humanism, based on human endeavors, but we learned this morning we can't rely on ourselves, but on God. And so, Lord, I pray as my wife and I take this trip to Asia that you would provide and we would be a blessing to many people and be able to minister and to help nationals become effective workers for God and help the workers here and the university campuses to make a great impact among these internationals. And this church, as it provides food and finances and prayers, we thank you so much, God. And Lord, help us to do our part because we will meet people around us where we live, in our neighborhood, in our schools. And we can share with them. We can give them a video. We can do something in the name of Jesus. Because we said that you're all to us to expand, to do everything to the glory of God. And so that's our prayer this morning, that we would follow the dream that God has for us. In Jesus' name, amen.